Well, hello, my paranormal peeps, and welcome back to the Deep Woods Paranormal Podcast. My name is Matt Harvey. I am the founder and lead investigator with Deep Woods Paranormal. I'm also the podcast host, along with my wife Amanda. We investigate anything and everything paranormal, be it Bigfoot, ghosts, UFOs, anything like that. So, in my arms, if you're watching the podcast, this little rigmarole. Wiggle Worm, I mean, is this is Zeus. He's the newest member of our family. He's about 4 months old. I think he's going to be renamed to either Scrappy Doo or we're going to name him Gizmo. Yeah, you like Gizmo? Yeah, okay. All right, so in a minute I'm gonna have to put him down because he's very hyper and does not like to sit in my arms very long at all. Anyways, so today we're going to kind of go back over things and talk about where I got started with the paranormal and what got me into it. So let's start from the beginning. This is almost probably about 40 years ago. aging myself here. I was a 6-year-old kid. We lived in a place called Irvine, California. I believe the land that they built on was Indian burial ground, and so the entity that was there, or entities that were there, were not very happy about having their home, their cemetery or graves or whatever, built upon by people, and then having people move in to their location. So, oh, also, I've got a new camera angle right now. I'm gonna try this out. Hopefully, it'll get rid of some of that lens glare from the screen. Otherwise, I'm gonna have to put the camera back and take my glasses off. And I can do that. We'll just see how people like this one. So, if you like the way this looks, please comment down below. Also, before I get into my stories, we can really use your help. We're a growing podcast. We're a growing YouTube channel. We're doing really, really well. We're getting lots of new fans, lots of new people. That's pretty much why I'm going to go back into these stories because I keep getting asked the same questions over and over again. And so I want to go back and touch upon those things and stuff like that. So, that said, if you can, you want to, you like the podcast, you like the video podcast, you like our YouTube channel, please do us a favor and share it on your social media. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, whatever. If you're a YouTuber, subscribe to us. We'll subscribe back. Happy to come check out your channel as well, especially if you're a paranormal channel. We watch a lot of other paranormal people. So, anyways, that's being said. So, when I was about 6 years old, actually going back even further, before we moved into that house, I was about four, and I didn't know how to explain to anybody that I could see. I guess you'd say I was like one of those people that's sensitive or psychic. I could see dead people, and they were as clear to me as a normal person would be. And it was confusing as hell because I never knew who was real, who wasn't, and stuff like that. So stuff happened to me way back then. When I was about six, we moved to Irvine. We moved into this house, brand new build, beautiful house. My dad and mom were very proud. They bought themselves a really nice house and on a nice in a nice area. But I had strange things happen to me all the time, between shadows like bouncing around on the walls, just darting back and forth, and having my pillow. My pillow, this didn't happen every night, but it happened at least once a week. I'd be asleep and I'd wake up and my pillow would be gone. And I'd look down and it was either straight out in front of me or was down at the foot of the ladder at my head. And so every time I get down there, I'd just be creeped the hell out. It was scary as hell. And I tried to explain it to my mom and dad and they didn't really know what to do with that, kid that is back in the 80s, growing up that way, I mean, you didn't talk about the paranormal. You didn't talk about ghosts. You didn't talk about mediums. You didn't talk about any of that stuff because everybody just thought you were absolutely nuts. And it wasn't until the late 90s that TAPS came out, and people are now starting to accept ghosts and Bigfoots and all other stuff. But that's another story. So this pillow one night ended up at the head of the ladder down below. I had a bunk bed, and so I was on the top bunk. I climbed down on my belly to grab the pillow, and as I grabbed the pillow, because it was leaning pretty much straight up and down against the ladder, something yanked back, and there was this creepy little girl's voice. It just freaked me out. I grabbed the pillow after a couple of yanks of it being pulled back, got it up there, and immediately, of course, pulled the covers up over my head, moved basically back. My bed was against the wall, so I moved myself all the way back to the end of the bed, and kind of curled up, and I think I finally fell asleep after a while. But another thing, as I got older, a couple of years later, I decided to move down to the bottom bunk. And what was cool about this setup was that I could basically, there was a dresser that would slide into the one side of the bunk bed, and so I could make an L with the bottom bed, and it was kind of like a fortress, which was cool. So I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Sixth Sense, where he's in the tent fort and that shadow comes by. Well, that happened to me in real life. Scared the living bejesus out of me. I'm 2 years old. I'm sorry. I was 8 years old, I think, and 2 in the morning, and I'm literally, I have a light on underneath the sheet. I had the sheet coming down from the top bunk, kind of, in that L shape, straight forward over the bottom of the bunk. Then I think I had another sheet coming the other way, kind of like a cross, and so you couldn't see in anywhere. There was no, the light was on in there because I didn't want to sleep without it, and I was terrified of whatever was going on. So I essentially, I don't know what I was doing, but I had the lamp on inside there, and I just saw a shadow like walk by, and I immediately, because I had the light on, I wasn't that scared, immediately pulled the sheet away, and there was nobody there. My door was closed, and my door made a lot of noise. It was squeaky, and it slammed, made a clicking sound when you closed it. So I know it wasn't my brother. It was at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. My mom would come in every once in a while and check on me. She knew something was going on, but she didn't really know how to help me, essentially. Very, very heavy duty Catholic, so she just didn't know how to tell me everything was going to be okay. Anyways, so that's pretty much where my paranormal journey started, way back when. And essentially, that's what got me, well, not really got me into it, that's what scared the hell out of me. When I was 13, we moved into a rental home for a year, and I didn't find out until we left that the previous owner had passed away in the house. And so essentially, he had this bar. He had the over the garage. He had a beautiful, like, 1,000 square foot room with a dance floor and a bar, a full size bar. I mean, it went across the whole side of the room, three quarters of the house. I'm sorry, three quarters of the room. And so I slept on a pull-out bed up there on the couch bed because my room was like 8 by 8. It was so tiny. I just didn't like being in there. So I slept in the other room. Excuse me. And essentially, I had a hard time sleeping in the house. I could feel somebody like watching me. I could feel there was something going on. And so, long story short, one night I woke up, and there was somebody standing behind the bar, and they had something in their hands, like a crate with glasses in it almost. And they were staring at me. And I'm like, what the hell? Dad, why are you in this? What are you doing? And it literally put the glasses down, you know, from about chest high down to about waist high, onto the bar where the bar would be on the other side, and disappeared. And I went, uh-oh. And from there on out, that entity was like all over me, because I didn't know how to communicate with spirits. I didn't know what I was doing. I could see them, but I couldn't understand them. I didn't know what to do with them. So after that, I had a couple more scary things that happened in the house, but nothing like I'm gonna hurt you or anything like that. It was just more like I'm gonna mess with you because I know you can see me. So essentially after that, we moved to Laguna Hills. My dad built this beautiful 5,000 square foot home. My parents did pretty well for themselves. And so essentially they, you know, as they were building the house, the workers had just claims of stuff being moved around. They always find the stuff like stacked up where it wasn't. Their tools would be all organized when they came back. One guy had a hammer. The roof on this house was like a 70, I think my dad said it was at 70%, as high as he could make them, because the third level pretty much was wide open. It was like another level, but we never put anything up there. He never drywalled it or anything. He could have made rooms on the third level if he wanted to, but I guess it wasn't allowed, so he never did it at the location we were at. So that said, we moved into this house, and my brother was a very good baseball player. He was very talented and stuff like that. A lot of his friends essentially ended up in the majors, and my brother was better than most of those people, and he got in a fight over a stupid girl, and we'll leave it at that. So that ended his baseball career, essentially. He had scouts all over him and everything like that. But so he was playing high school baseball and traveling. And essentially what happened was he would have games like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and there would be multiple games. And some of them would be in San Diego or Los Angeles or whatever. So sometimes my parents would have to go spend the night somewhere with him. I didn't like to go to the games that much. I liked watching my brother play, but I got bored after a while. So I was 19 and I essentially was allowed to stay home. And because I could take care of myself, I could drive, I could do whatever. I was working at the time too, while going to high school, and just basically working weekends. So I was home alone a lot during the weekends. And I mean, I have friends come over and spend the night with me, and they would come back. They're like, no, I don't want to sleep at your house anymore. Like, what did you experience? I don't want to talk about it. Okay. You've all heard the stories of people, you know, not wanting to get up out of bed to go down the hallway to the bathroom. That was me. That was pretty much me. I lived with I'll call it a negative haunt, for about 8 years. Sorry, the puppy is over there playing with the squeaker toy. Sorry about that. So, things that happened to me in the house. I guess I brought it upon myself, maybe. I don't know. I got up there one night and I was looking around with a flashlight and I said, who's there? Because I'd heard a whole bunch of noise. Like, I heard somebody like literally walking up on the third level above my room. You could hear doo, 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 doo. That house, my dad didn't spare any expenses on the house. He spent quite a bit of money on that house. We're talking probably $1 million on the house just to build it. And he put all kinds of stuff into the house. He hardwood floors, everything was glued down, everything was also screwed down so that nothing squeaked. The house never made a noise at all. It was creepy as hell that something was walking around upstairs, but there was nobody there. And so that's where it started with for me. It started with the noise, hearing the noises upstairs, hearing something walk around like footsteps, and hearing whatever it was, it just kept going. It never stopped. I finally got a TV in my room. I was, I think, 19 and a half or whatever it was. My parents finally allowed us to have a TV, but we had no cable. We just had the rabbit ears. And again, I'm aging myself. But I could get like one or two channels on that. And I literally would just leave it on all night long because I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear that whatever it was walking around upstairs. And this is kind of where I got my start. So long story short, I had things like the closet door would open and close on its own. And a black hooded figure that looked like it had skeleton for hands and a skull for a face would float out of there. And basically the end of my bed had a bed frame, a metal bed frame. And then my bed started shaking, and then boom. Like it felt like minutes, but it was like seconds later, my bed just went boom. The front part of my bed hit the floor where my feet were. And then this thing basically appeared as it came out, and that then it started, then it disappeared. Then my bed basically fell, and then essentially it floated back in. Back then, I was about 180 pounds. I was fit, I was strong, I was playing football, wrestling, track and field, I was doing all kinds of sports. And so essentially, I was terrified of that. A couple of my football friends came over, and my dad's like, "Oh, you bent the frame. You broke the frame." I'm like, "No." I tried to explain it to him. My dad's a non-believer. So it was very difficult for him to understand that something physically bent it without being there. I don't even know how to explain it. So we took this bed frame out to the garage, and I was told to throw it away. And so a couple of my football friends and I were out there with, we took a sledgehammer to it. We tried to bend it with weights and stuff like that. We could not get this thing to bend. And we're showing my dad, and he's like, "Oh, you guys are just, you know, whatever." We tried to bend the damn thing back, thinking it would be easy. Nope. Couldn't move it. Whatever bent that damn frame, I don't, it had so much energy and so much strength to be able to do that. I mean, I just don't, I don't even, I, to this day, I still scratch my head about that. So that's one of the things that happened. We used to see like footprints come through the ceiling. My friend and I witnessed that, and he's like, "Oh my God." And he's like, "Are you seeing that?" He said it to me. I didn't say it to him. He's like, "Are you seeing that?" I'm like, "Yep." And he's like, "Okay, I'm never coming back here. I'm never spending that again." I'm like, "Okay." So it just kind of progressed and progressed, got more and more intense every time it would happen, every time I'd have it, something happened. I was sleeping in my parents' room one weekend while they were gone, in their bed, because they had a big TV in their room, and I think they had a 30-inch TV. And back in the day, that was a good-sized TV. I mean, back in the early 90s. Actually, late 80s. Sorry. That was really cool. So I was in there watching TV, and the dog, I had a different dog back then. She was Doberman, and she looked up at the ceiling and started growling. And no sooner had she started growling, there was like a bang, ba-ba-ba-bang. Like something had literally been thrown across the floor and then tumbled across the floor. And I'm like, "What the hell? There's nothing up there. There's no physical things that can be moved like that." Now, it is, there is subflooring, and those beams, I mean, those wood is screwed down. But this started around 2 o'clock in the morning, and it didn't end till about 6. I think I finally fell asleep out of sheer exhaustion. And I turned the TV up, and when I turned the TV up, it just got louder. And it was like, damn, you know, I was terrified. I didn't know what to do, and I think the dog actually is what probably kept me safe that night. I think something really wanted to mess with me and might have been afraid of the dog, to be honest with you. So when I was 19, I met Amanda. And she basically, I always call her my angel in disguise. She was a person that I could actually talk to. And I started, when I first met her, I was very careful about what I said. And because I thought, she's just going to kind of go roll her eyes and laugh at me and basically just think I'm some Looney Tune, and dump me. But she put up with me. And as we kind of got closer and closer, I started telling her what was going on. And so one day, she and her cousin were out and about doing whatever they were doing. She's very close with her cousins. They're like little sisters to her. But, and they're kind of like little sisters to me too, because I kind of watched them grow up. I've been with Amanda long enough that we watched them grow up from teenagers, essentially. And now they all have kids, which is crazy. So, the fun of getting older, right? Anyways. So one night I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I was by myself. I was gonna be home alone all weekend long. And I called her up and I said, hey, I can't stay here anymore. And I'm sure I had a panic in my voice. And so she came over and I came running out of the garage and I'm talking to her. And basically that house, like I said, had the wood blinds, like the real wood blinds. And in my brother's room was right next to mine in the front of the house, second story. You could see the wood blinds like open. Like if you took the end of one of the blinds and you pulled it up, that's what happened. And you could see something peering out at us. And you could tell it was that same thing, that cloaked figure with a skull for a face. And I said, see, I'm not going back in there. And I'm sure after much discussion, she calmed me back down, and I went back in, and that's when I got into the Bigfoot. I mean, to ghost hunting. There I didn't I had seen shows back in the 80s, Unsolved Mysteries, Sightings, all these other things that talked about ghosts and other things. So my first thought was, okay, I'm gonna grab my dad's VHS camcorder. And this is the big VHS camcorders. Again, I'm showing my age. And I took a flashlight and went up into the attic, into that third story, started carefully walking around. And I borrowed his audio recorder because my dad was a lawyer at the time. And he dictated a lot and into a recorder so that his secretary could type up what he wanted typed up. So essentially, I stole that. The best thing I can think of is I stole it. And I went up into the attic, set up the camera. I was looking around with a flashlight. And gotta remember, this is the late 80s. I'm sorry, this early 90s, like mid 90s, 95, I think it was. There was no ghost hunting. Taps was not out yet. All this other stuff was not happening. People still were very hesitant to talk about ghosts and all this other stuff. So I'm up there. And I don't know what I said. I can't remember what the recording was, but I asked a bunch of questions. My dad had a cassette tape player, one of the small ones, not the big ones, but he had one of the smaller ones. And so I was talking to it. I asked him several questions, and then I basically stopped and went back down, and everything went quiet, which was cool for a while. And essentially, I don't know what happened. Monday morning or whatever came around, my dad comes walking into my room. He's like, what is this? He's holding the audio recorder in his hand. I'm like, what are you talking about? What is this? I'm like, what? So, and I said, I don't know. I haven't listened to it. What's on there? And he looked at me with this weird look and just walked out. He never told me it was on the audio recording. I never heard it. I think he just threw it away and moved on. But that was where I started basically ghost hunting at 19. And from there on out, Amanda and I learned to basically deal with that thing. I went from kind of being psychic to, and what I say is I kind of evolved. I moved on to battling demons, and I at the end I got, basically got to the point where I was strong enough in my religion, and I learned enough through different things to chase this thing out of that house. And so that's basically what got me into helping people as well. So Amanda and I decided, as we started dating, we would start going out to like the Queen Mary, the Whaley House. We went up to Los Angeles quite a bit, Northern California, and all this other stuff. You're okay. You're okay. It's okay. He might be sensitive, that little dog. So I think there's a couple entities in here. He was looking at the dolls when he started barking back there. If you're watching the video podcast, you can't see it, but the haunted dolls are back there, and they've been pretty active lately, actually. So sorry about the barking. I'm going to go ahead and leave that in here because I think something paranormal just happened and he was alerting me to it. There was something behind me, and which is fine. I mean, whatever's in here. When I start telling ghost stories like this, basically they get, the spirits around me start getting active and stuff. So, all right, so let's get back into it. So we would go out to said haunted places. We'd spend the night at these locations. We'd walk around. We didn't have any gear at that point in time. We just wanted to experience something, see if we could experience anything paranormal. About four years later, I think it was, we started, you know, as we kept going, we met other people that were into what we were doing, and they started kind of coming with us to different set of haunted places to see if they could experience things too. And as we got to, as Taps first came out, everybody looked at me and they're like, dude, that's you. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, that's you, that you, that's what you do. You should do that, you know, form a group and start helping people. And so that's basically what got us into ghosting. I created a group called the California Ghost Hunters. We became a TAPS family member team. We did got a lot of cases from them. We got to the point where we had like 30 people on the team at one point. We had just a lot of people helping us. And at one point, I think we had three different DVR systems with 10 or 12 or 15 cameras or 18 cameras, however many they had. And we go out to three different locations on like a Friday or Saturday night, and then essentially meet back up the following week, sit down, discuss the cases, and then basically decide what to show the client, if there was anything to show the client, and then basically went on from there. About 12 years went by, maybe a little longer, and I had a really bad day. I lost my job because the company went under, and just a lot of stuff was going on, and it was time for me to make a change. So I gave up the group. I gave it to a couple of friends of mine. I said, hey, you know, you guys have been here with me for 8 years or whatever it was, and so I said, hey, why don't you take the team and go do your thing, continue on with whatever you want to do. You can keep the name, you can keep all that stuff. I'm not sure what happened to them. I'm not sure what happened to the California Ghost Hunters, to be honest with you. So I just took about a 6-month break because I was just so overwhelmed with all this stuff. I finally got burned out. We burned through a lot of people. We had a lot of people come on and leave the group, just because we were doing so many cases and there was so much to do. Everybody had at least one or two audio recorders. Everybody had at least one or two Sony Handycams. Everybody had at least one K2. Everybody had all a bunch of gear. Plus I had, God, I think at one point we had $30,000 or $40,000 worth of gear. I think we had four DVR systems at the height of our investigations. I think we had 12 K2s. God, we had like 20 audio recorders. I think we had like 10 or 12 handy cams. We had so much gear, just me personally, me and Amanda personally, and we had more. We had a lot more stuff than that, but just a lot of it, money and gear. And so I sold some of it when I left, and then essentially we went on. I just kind of took a 6 month hiatus, and then I started kind of going up to a place called Black Star Canyon. That's out in the Santa Ana Mountains. That was a place that we had gone as a team when I ran the California Ghost Hunters. Because people said, you got to go check this place out. It's haunted, blah, 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 blah. And I went, okay, we'll go up there. And we experienced a lot that when we were up there that night. Footsteps, the people walking around us. As we stop, we continue to hear footsteps and stuff like that. And just creepy as hell. And back then, again, we didn't have a lot of gear. We didn't have any night vision. I think we had one flashlight with a couple batteries and stuff. I don't know how far in we walked. We walked a long way. The battery died on the flashlight, and so we were just walking out and having a good time, and we saw some shadows and stuff like that. So as time basically went on, I started going up there quite a bit. And then I started going over to San Juan Capistrano. I started going back to the Pasadena Suicide Bridge and a few other places. I just started visiting those things quite a bit, mainly Black Star and San Juan Capistrano. And I was up there. I got to the point where everybody knew me as that ghost hunting guy. And so essentially, I basically decided to start doing ghost tours because somebody said, hey, you should do ghost tours. So I went, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So I was like charging $10 a person. And I was just making enough to pay for my gas and basically pay for my expenses. And it was fun. It helped me buy some new gear and stuff like that. And spent about 8 years doing that. About, what, 15 years ago? I was up there one night on Halloween night, believe it or not. And I'm going to make this story very short because I've told this story so many times. But we saw a Bigfoot, and it was not darn dark or dusk. It was right before dusk, and silvery gray, huge thing, just standing there, throwing rocks at us. And then essentially, it walked over behind a tree. And when I said, "Hey, we can still see you," it basically turned and walked away, stomped away. You guys, if you want to listen to the Bigfoot stories, you can go back and listen to that. But so after that, I did tours for a long time. I did tours for like 4 or 5 years up there. Actually, no, longer than that, like 8 years up there. And I was still doing investigations, just not as much as I was before. I was only doing like one or two investigations a month, not 10 or whatever I was doing. Because it got to the point where when we were at the California Ghost Hunters, we were going out every Friday night and every Saturday night. And essentially, it got to the point where I would come home from work around 5 or 6 o'clock, eat dinner, and then go start reviewing evidence. And be up till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning reviewing evidence, go to bed for 2 or 3 hours, get up, go to work, and then recycle that same pattern every day, Monday through Sunday. And it just got to the point where Amanda said, you know, this is too much. I'm not getting to ever see you, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it was time for a change when I left the California Ghost Hunters. I just didn't realize it. And so, yeah. But I was still helping people after I left. I had a lot of contacts with the TAPS family members, teams around us. And so essentially, I went and helped people here and there. Like once a month, I go out and help people. We document whatever was going on with them there. And that's the way we investigate now. If we ever do a paranormal investigation, essentially, we want to make sure our clients are there with us because they're the one experiencing most of the activity. That way, they can ask their questions and we can get them some answers. And I find that that's a lot more productive than kicking everybody out, going in, a whole bunch of new people that nobody's ever met, and or the spirits have never met, I should say, and then trying to ask a bunch of questions and the spirits are kind of like, well, what the hell, you know? But this works. This system seems to work better. So, anyways, I started Deep Woods Paranormal, God, like a year or two after I left the California Ghost Hunters. It was just a small thing, and then I was doing the Deep Woods. I was doing the tours, Orange County Ghosts and Legends tours, and my friend Chris ended up taking that over, and he's doing really well with that. If you want to go on a tour, contact Chris. Orange County Ghosts and Legends, I think, is his handle or whatever it is. So, anyways, he does tours out there still, at Black Star and other places. So cool locations, and he's fun. Everybody enjoys his tours. So, anywho, getting back to my stories. So yeah, essentially, then we moved to Texas about almost 4 years, no, through over 3 years ago now, and started investigating out here. When we first moved, we were like, okay, we don't know if we want to keep doing this or not. And you can watch our Smitty's Cafe investigations if you go back into our YouTube channel. We documented so much stuff from that place. So many things happened. I mean, talk about paranormal hotspot. Anyways. We went to dinner, I'm sorry, lunch with Amanda's mom, and we went to this little cafe called Smitty's Cafe, and we were eating, and I handed the girl my card. I said, I don't know if this place is actively haunted or you have any kind of ghost stories or anything like that. And she went, oh yeah, we have a lot of ghost stories. Let me get your card and blah blah blah. And so I gave her my card, and I guess the card got put into the cash register by accident. And the manager didn't see it. So 3 or 4 months goes by, and man and I were doing kind of still scouting locations and stuff like that, but we weren't real serious. And so essentially we got a call, and it was the manager, and she's like, you guys still interested in doing a ghost tour, ghost investigation here? And I said, yeah, we'd love to come in and investigate. And we spent almost 2 years investigating there, like once a month, documenting thing after thing after thing. It was insane. You guys can go watch the Smitty's Cafe investigation on our YouTube channel if you want to see that. I'm talking about shadow people, shadow kids, footsteps, no loud noises. Oh my God, that place takes the cake. So we've basically been investigating out here for almost 3 years. And then we've been doing a lot more Bigfoot stuff recently. I know our fans are more into the Bigfoot stuff, so that's where we're kind of moving now. We're working with another producer. We are a production company, Amanda and I, officially a production company. And so we will be doing a lot more Bigfoot documentary stuff. I'm in the process of meeting with several witnesses from different locations. And we're going to be putting more shows together for our YouTube channel. And you guys are welcome to go over to Deep Woods Paranormal. It's just Deep Woods Paranormal. It's not Deep Woods Paranormal or anything else. It's just Deep Woods Paranormal. If you do a search for that, you'll find us. You can kind of see our logo behind with the spaceships and everything behind us. So, yeah, essentially, that's basically where I started and where we're at now. We're out actively researching Bigfoot. Unfortunately, it takes a little bit of time for us to document things, document things, document things to the point where it's actually interesting for you guys to watch. So we're doing location scouting. We're going out and meeting with witnesses. We're doing night investigations. We're doing day investigations. We're trying to document anything we can Bigfoot wise and stuff like that. And we'll be working with our other producer as well to try and put more stories together and put one big documentary together probably in the future. So if you guys have seen a Bigfoot or Sasquatch or whatever, or seen something strange in the woods, feel free to call us. I'll give you my number because it's everywhere on the internet anyways. My cell is 979 250 00 72. And every time I do this, I always get four or five texts from people, and I go out and meet with them, and it's fun to meet you guys and hear your stories and see where you guys had your experiences and see what happened. So there is no judgment. You know, I know a lot of people are afraid of being ridiculed. If you don't want to share your story publicly, that's fine. We don't have to do a YouTube show on it, or we can just exclude you and go into the area. You can share your story, but we'll exclude you and basically just tell your story for you, and then essentially maybe do an investigation with you out in these locations to see if we can document whatever you were experiencing. So yeah, that's what's going on. We're constantly looking for new locations to do Bigfoot research and to do ghost hunting, UFO research. If it's paranormal in nature, we research it. So I'll be talking about meeting with David, who is one of the people that contacted me after hearing the podcast. So we'll be talking to him, you know, so I'll be working on the documentary that I just shot with him over the next couple weeks, maybe even the next month or so, trying to put something together so you guys can see his story and see what he experienced and stuff like that. He's an avid hunter. He's out in the San Houston National Forest all the time, and he's been experiencing quite a strange things lately. We did get a hair sample, and I'm going to probably do a separate video on me carefully pulling apart the hair from everything else it's tangled in, if I can, and then I'll be putting it into little sample cups, kind of like this one. You can't quite see this for some reason. There it is. As soon as I let go. Okay. Can you show that, please? There it is. There. So that's what we're doing. We're going to be putting these samples in here, and we're going to be looking to send them out to get some DNA tested on them. If you do DNA and you want to take a look at for us, we're looking to see if it's primate, human, or a mix of the two, or whatever. We just want to know what it is, and you know, where it came from. Could it possibly be Bigfoot hair? And so that's what we're looking for. It looks like a couple of the hair samples I collected have some skin on them too. So maybe there's a skin sample that can be tested. It was out in the woods for a long period of time, so I'm hoping that hasn't messed up the anatomy of the samples themselves. So anyways, that's what we're working on. We got a lot of stuff coming down the pike. We're out almost every weekend now, doing something paranormally, and looking for either ghosts or Bigfoot or UFOs or whatever. So anyways, guys, thank you guys for listening. Amanda's story will come out tomorrow. Unfortunately, this is releasing on Tuesday instead of Monday, just because I completely forgot to do the podcast yesterday. I was severely busy with work and stuff like that. I didn't get back till really, really late. It's almost midnight now. So anyways, again, thank you guys for listening. Please share and like this on social media. Like I said, we're growing. We're getting a larger and larger fan base. And we're so thankful for you guys. Thank you guys very much for all the nice comments and stuff on the YouTube channel. If you're making a comment on one of the places our podcasts are posted and I haven't seen it, and I apologize, I will get to it sooner or later. Problem is that we're on about 40 different places. Our podcasts are in 40 different locations. And it's a little hard to try and get to everything, especially with all the editing and everything I'm doing. So, like I said, I gave you my number, 979-250-0072. You can always shoot me a text too. You know, always nice to get compliments or whatever, or get some feedback. Like somebody was saying that my glare on my glasses was distracting. I'm sorry for that. The screen still is giving me a little bit of glare, but not as bad as usual. Normally I have a light sitting right behind the screen here. And so if this doesn't work, I'll have to take the glasses off. All right, guys. Sorry for all the rambling. You guys have a great night, and we'll catch you on the next one.